across America. Live, this is Point of View. And now, Kirby Anderson.
Frequently here on Point of View, we talk about the fact that we try to help you articulate a biblical worldview and then also know how to defend a biblical worldview. That's a way of summarizing the fact that we talk a lot about this idea of worldview and apologetics, certainly knowing how to think biblically about every area of life and knowing how to defend the Christian faith. How does that fit within the church, and how should we Christians be prepared? That's really our topic this hour as we bring back to the microphone Todd Wagner. You might remember we chatted with him when we did the tribute with him and Eric Metaxas of Chuck Colson. And I might also mention that we have actually posted today on our website, pointofview.net, Words from Wags, which is his blog post. And I do highly recommend some of you sign up to receive it or visit it on a regular basis, because even today I printed out 12 pages of it, some of it talking about apologetics, some of it talking about the homosexuality debate, some of it talking about how should we vote, some of it talking about, of course, Chuck Colson and worldview. He is the pastor of Watermark Community Church in Dallas, certainly one of the most innovative and exciting new churches in America, and they do a number of conferences, one we're going to talk about in just a minute, an apologetics conference that has speakers, all of whom have been on the program before, and I really encourage you to find out more about maybe attending it. He and his wife, Alex, are busy investing in their 6 kids, so he doesn't travel too much, but he does occasionally go and do conferences. He's a graduate of the University of Missouri and Dallas Theological Seminary, worked before with Kennicott. And Todd, always great to have you on the program with us.
Kirby, it is a joy to be with you, and thank you for all you do to equip guys like me and all your listeners.
Well, you are really, as a church pastor, a little bit unique. Now, first of all, certainly we've had a lot of pastors that have been involved with Chuck Colson over the years, the Breakpoint Commentary, Wilberforce Forum, and all of that. But you were one of the very key individuals there. And also, you have been at your church doing so many conferences, a lot of them related to intelligent design, apologetics, answering the new atheist. And that's a little bit unusual, because most pastors aren't really focused in that direction, and I know you'd like to change some of that.
Well, I guess I would. You know, it's funny. We didn't set out with a mindset that we were going to bring in those kind of friends, or that God would even give us the privilege to have those kind of friendships. But you know, like-minded men find each other, and I've got a passion as a pastor to equip the saints. And so I have been very blessed to form friendships with some of the guys that are the best thinkers and leaders in the world on these topics, and it's worked out to where we could be together and serve our immediate church family, our larger Dallas community, and then through the miracle of the web, anybody wants to jump on our website and listen to it for free.
Well, you've done a great job there. I was going to post a lot of your web links, but actually, if people just go to our web link here, we have one certainly for the conference, and also if they click on your picture or even the blog there, it will take them to watch some of those videos, because you have done a great job of making that available to individuals, and at the same time recognizing that your philosophy of Equip the Saints, I think, is a more holistic view. I mean, I'm not trying to be critical of other pastors, but let's be honest, in a lot of the typical kind of mainline churches or even Bible churches, it's, well, we're going to teach kind of systematic theology, or we might do a book study. And you recognize that that's important, but trying to connect God's Word to the world is very important as well.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more, Kirby. I mean, we've got to teach God's Word. We've got to teach all truth that comes out of it, and we've got to help people understand how to communicate to their friends in a way that will make them hunger for more of God's Word. And it's amazing, while we're teaching through books and giving people great studies and understanding, you know, basics about the Scripture and walking them exegetically through books, you know, what we really want to also do, though, is give folks an ability to engage their neighbors and their friends, many of who subscribe to a completely different worldview than the biblical one, the Judeo-Christian ethic, and help them understand how to lovingly and winsomely make them want to know more about the God that they are devoted to. And it's amazing how many believers are completely and thoroughly unprepared to do that. Even, you're right, Kirby, you know, folks that have no problem finding books in their Old or New Testament, maybe even quoting some scriptures, don't know how to engage the world they live in. And last I checked, we are to be ambassadors to that world.
Well
and
said.
So that means you've got to understand the way people think, And you've got to be able to share with them in a way that helps them, I guess, reflect on what they're building their life on. And so, to me, I want to teach people in a way that makes them more effective at the thing that God has called them to do. And, you know, the Lord wants them to go and make disciples. You know, you and I know, when Jesus gave that command to go out in the world and make disciples, there was a broad spectrum of worldviews that already existed. He said that in a world where Confucianism and Buddhism and Hinduism were already very rampant and present around the world. And so he must have thought that his disciples were going to be able to go into that world, and even the world of atheism that rejected the idea of God and paganism, and engage them in a way that made them hunger for the God who loves them and cares for them. Paul certainly models that in Acts 17.
I would say so. You know, it's interesting, Todd, that oftentimes people say, well, I don't know, really need to know how to defend the faith. Apologetics, well, whatever it is, I don't even need that. But all you have to do is have them go out on church visitation or maybe go and do some kind of evangelistic outreach, and pretty soon they come running back and say, okay, I think I need a little more help here, because all of a sudden I'm getting all sorts of comments and questions and I don't know how to respond to them. And we're not saying that everybody needs to know all the answers before they go out and share their faith. But boy, if there's something that creates a need for even the conference that you're putting on here in the fall, it's just going out there and mixing it up with the world a little bit.
Yeah, Kirby, I think you're really right. I think the reason that a lot of people are not passionate about apologetics, and let's go ahead and define that word. I know many people in your listening audience who are more equipped than most already know this, but the word comes from, it's really, frankly, an unfortunate word. It's a transliteration. It's a word that we pull across from the Greek language. Apologia is the word, and it sounds a lot like our word apologize. And so
yeah.
A lot of people think that apologetics, without, you know, real study and reflection, they think it means I'm going to apologize for what I believe because I know it's crazy, which could be further from what it means. And the word really means defense, to give a reply. And we're even told in scriptures how to do it. Let me just say this. I like you, Kirby, when people ask me questions, I like to respond by not giving them my opinion, but as best I can, pointing them back to God's word and let them wrestle with that. So when someone starts a conversation with this basic question, why should I care about apologetics, and why should the church be concerned about apologetics? Well, 1 Peter 3:15 is the best place I can go,
sure.
And there's numerous others. But it tells us, first of all, to become holy, sanctify Christ as Lord in our lives. And so we got to live lives that create a curiosity. But then it says this, always be prepared to make a defense. There's that word, apologia. When anyone asks you, give an account with the hope that is within you. And then it says to do it with reverence and respect, or reverence and gentleness. And so we're called to do this. We're called to give a reasonable response to the faith that we are holding on to. And now, to your question, the reason most believers don't feel a compulsion to learn to give wise, gentle, reverent, respectful responses to people is because, as sad as this sounds, most people aren't sharing their faith. And so they're not asked those questions. And that's the bigger problem.
We'll take a break and continue our conversation with Todd Wagner right after this.
You're listening to Point of View, your listener-supported source for truth.
Continue our conversation today about apologetics and worldview, and if you'd like to join us a little bit later, we'll open up the phones. I know you probably have comments or questions. Todd Wagner with me, pastor of Watermark Community Church, and we have information about him as well as his church and this conference taking place in September. And Todd, it's interesting, just a week or so ago, I was in the Philadelphia area, was invited to speak in a Bible church out there, Faith Bible Church, and it was one of those ones where I did a mind game conference. We speak five times Saturday, then I spoke in the church Sunday morning, Sunday evening. You know, by the time I had done eight talks, I was getting kind of tired, but they said, would you also do a pastor's conference? And I, on the front end, said yes. So they wanted to have three talks that I would give to the pastors. Now, what I suggested to them is, let me just give you a list of any topic, because I've spoken to some of the pastors before, so let's have them pick. And out of this list of about two dozen different topics, the number one, as a matter of fact, it wasn't even a close second, the number one one was Answering the New Atheists. So when I saw that that is the title of your conference, I thought, you are right on track. Those pastors in South Jersey and in Philadelphia, when they could pick any one of the topics that we at Probe make available, that's the one that was number one on the list, and that's exactly what you're going to be addressing in your church on September 29th.
It's a very humbling. I want to tell you, the guys that are coming, we couldn't have assembled this group if we tried, but for whatever reason, the Lord wanted us all to be together on September 29th. It is 40 bucks. It's open to anybody. It's an amazing assembly of guys. We'll start at 9 in the morning and goes throughout the remainder of the day. But let me tell you, William Lane Craig, who is one of the brightest minds in the world today, some guy named Ravi Zacharias that a few folks may well have heard of. Ravi's going to be with us. Greg Kokel, who's going to come speak, John Stone Street, who's a friend from, my friendship with Chuck Colson, and, you know, John's with Eric really doing the breakpoints that Chuck did now. John's one of the leading communicators on worldview and helping people understand how to respond to the relevant issues of our day. Frank Turek, I mean, it's just unbelievable. Dan Wallace, who's probably one of the leading authorities in the world on the veracity of the New Testament manuscripts. This is a very selfish thing for me. I can't wait to sit at the feet of these guys and learn.
Well, and again, let me just say, you got seven speakers. All seven speakers have been on Point of View. William Lane Craig, I've actually moderated some of the debates he's done over the years, and he's been on the program with us. Greg Kokel, all the time I recommend his book, Tactics. I'm teaching a class this fall on apologetics at Criswell College, and we're using Doug Groteis' book as the main book, but then for the graduate students, they have to read Greg Kokel's book on tactics. John Stone Street, what a great friend. We work with him with Summit Ministries, and of course, he's one of the people that's taken over for the Breakpoint commentary, as well as with Eric Metaxas. Dan Wallace has been on the program in studio with us many times talking about the New Testament manuscripts. And of course, everybody, I would imagine, knows Ravi Zacharias. And then Todd Wagner. So you've got seven great speakers. And when I first saw this, I thought, this must be a misprint. $40 for all of this? I mean, you could put a one in front of that and most people still come. So you're a very generous individual to share that with all of our listeners.
Well, thank you. And we're not in this to make money. We're in it to make disciples. And so we are just trying to cover costs. That includes lunch too, Kirby. And so it's going to be a great chance to get equipped. And some folks might be asking, hey, I can't get to Dallas for that one day. Will those resources be available later? And I'll be honest, I don't even know the answer to that yet. We haven't got that far down the line. But I would just tell you, if this is an area of interest for you, this makes for a heck of a field trip to Dallas.
Well, that's why I was going to suggest that. Certainly, we will be promoting it here in Dallas. I mean, some of the local Dallas stations are carrying some of this. But we're in 42 different states, and I would just suggest to you that if you've always wanted to learn from some of the best, this is the best. And I remember a while back when I had a chance to moderate a debate that was put on by William Lane Craig and Ravi Zacharias. Actually, Ravi Zacharias put it on, but William Lane Craig was one of the participants, as well as somebody that represented a pantheistic point of view. Somebody represented an atheistic point of view. That was worth it just to have all those people in the same room. But then to add to that, you know, Frank Turek and all the things that we've done with him over the years with Norm Geisler, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist, John Stone Street. I mean, many of you have sent your kids off to school to really empowered them to know what they're going to deal with in school by going to Summit Ministries. Greg Kokel, of course, we enjoy having him so often. This is an incredible lineup. And so I just hope that all of you will think about heading down there and being part of that on September 29th at Watermark Community Church. But I thought, well, before we open up the phones, we might talk about why this is important. And one of the things I've said, Todd, and I'd love to hear your comments, most people are never going to run into Richard Dawkins or Sam Harris or Daniel Dennett. Of course, now they wouldn't run into Christopher Hitchens because he's no longer alive. And they may not even read those books, but other people that read those books or see those blogs or go to these atheist websites have those ideas in their head. And it seems to me that if you're going to be an effective Christian in the 21st century, you need to know how to answer the new atheists.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Because here's the thing, even people that aren't well-versed in those ideas can hide behind an Oxford scholar or can hide behind a very winsome, creative English journalist like Christopher Hitchens was. And go, hey, this book's out there, and he throws out all these ideas, and what's wrong with the belief system that you dumb Christians have held on to for a long time. And so we need to understand their arguments, and we need to understand their positions and be able to give, as we've already said, a loving response to them. There's the new atheist, proponents that are out there. I came across a quote recently by Martin Luther, and one of the things I tell people all the time is, listen, I'm a pastor. You know, when it comes to apologetics, I'd almost call myself a layman. William Lane Craig and guys like Ravi that have really committed their lives to studying this, I want to learn from them. And so what I always tell people is, listen, you don't have to go out and be doing the leading edge research, but when you find somebody that can give you good answers to good questions, learn from them. And so I always tease people. I say, listen, Churchill's the guy that said it's good for ignorant men to read books of quotes. I put myself among that group because when you quote good men, you sound smart like good men. And so there's a great line, a great quote by Martin Luther, and I've got it before me today. It says this: if I profess with the loudest voice and clearest exposition every portion of the truth of God — this gets to your question or your point earlier about exegetical teaching, which is absolutely important — but Luther says, if I do that, except precisely that little point which the world and the devil are at that moment attacking, I am not confessing Christ, however boldly I may be professing Christ. Where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved. And to be steady on all the battlefield besides is mere flight and disgrace if he flinches at that point. And so people that are getting beat up,
yes,
by folks that say, hey, you're intolerant if you hold this view on marriage, you're a simpleton if you hold to the historic Christian faith, or even believe in the existence of God if you come across a Dawkins or a Dawkinsite. That is where the conversation is happening today. And the scripture that I read, okay, tells me that I am to be ready as a part of my call to leadership. It says that I am to be ready with gentleness to correct those who are in opposition. And so if we don't do that, then we are abandoning our post and we are not the servants and soldiers for Christ that he asks us to be.
You know, and I see it as both offense and defense, and you're a good athlete, so you can understand the importance of both offense and defense, because in some cases, you have the Apostle Paul talking about tearing down strongholds and lofty thoughts raised up against the knowledge of God. That looks like offense to me, you know, and taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And then, of course, you just quoted, obviously, as well from 1 Peter 3:15, always be ready to make a defense. And it seems to me that we can do this in a gentle way, and people can learn from people like Greg Kokel to point out some of the logical inconsistencies, some of the failings in logic of the ideas that are out there in the culture. And then they can also learn as well from people like Frank Turek on how to defend the Christian faith, how to make your case. So I think you've put together just a really good balanced team, and something that I hope people will take away, not only learning those tools and put more tools in their toolbox, but back to the point you made a minute ago as well, it needs to be with gentleness and reverence. You know, you don't just load up your six shooter and start shooting at people. You have to be gentle, but at the same time firm, and I think we will see a real significant response to the gospel if people begin to learn some of these important principles and apply them in a loving way.
Yeah, it's a tragedy, okay, that so many people think that faith is believing what we know not to be true. It's a tragedy that's what the world thinks. It's an unspeakable problem when that's what many people in the church think. They go, well, it's my faith, and I've got it, and I was raised in the West, where the preponderance of folks are Christian and not Islamic or not Hinduistic or not even atheistic until, you know, those numbers grow recently. But Kirby, the fact that people think faith is believing what we know to not be true, wow, is such a problem. Mm. And so I tell folks, and part of what I'm going to talk about, just setting it up that day when I speak, is why this issue is so essential and why we've got to be effective in defending our faith. And so some of the stuff we're talking about today is what I'm going to set it up. And of course, a lot of folks that are there already know it or they wouldn't be there. But I'm even going to be in my time talking a lot about this, because they need to be able to go back from where they come from and tell their pastors and their elders and their leaders, or even start their own ministry to others to equip them. Because if we don't, we're not going to have a voice very long. And more than ever,
right,
it is important that we learn to have a voice in the public square.
Going to take a break, but let's open up the phones. We have much more to talk about, but love to hear your comments as well. 1-800-351-1212. If you'd like to know a little bit more about Todd Wagner or even link into Words from Wags, that's on our website, pointofview.net. But we'll also give you a chance to join our conversation. 1-800-351-1212. We'll be back right after this.
You are listening to Point of View. For materials offered during the program, please write to Point of View, Post Office Box 30. That's Box 30, Dallas, Texas 75221, zip 75221. Or call our toll-free number, 1-800-347-5151. That's 1-800-347-5151. The opinions expressed on Point of View do not necessarily reflect the views of the management or staff of this station. Point of View will continue after this. You are listening to Point of View. The opinions expressed on Point of View do not necessarily reflect the views of the management or staff of this station. And now, here again is Kirby Anderson.
Final half hour, if you'd like to join us, 1-800-351-1212. Perhaps you have comments or questions about apologetics, worldview. Privileged to have with us Todd Wagner, and he is the pastor of Watermark Community Church in the Dallas area, but also his church is putting on this outstanding apologetics conference, which will be taking place on Saturday, September 29th. Some of the individuals speaking, William Lane Craig, Greg Kokel, John Stone Street, Frank Turek, Dan Wallace, Ravi Zacharias, and, of course, Todd Wagner himself. Let's take some phone calls along the way, and we'll go first to, I guess we'll stay in the state of Texas for the moment. Ali, thank you for calling. You're on with Todd Wagner.
Good afternoon to you, sir. How are you doing today?
Very good.
I was born in Jerusalem. I'm very well familiar with the Quran. I was born a Muslim. I was familiar with the Quran, with the Torah, and also the Bible. I came to the state and I turned into a Christian. And here of late, it seems to me most of the, a lot of Christians, they're turning to be more like a buffet Christian. They kind of pick and choose what they want. Mm. And when this Obama stood in national television before God and the nation, and he said a man can marry a man, it's okay. And then, you know, we discussed it around and everybody seemed to be, well, Jesus loves us all. Jesus loves us all. If Jesus loves us all, Why does God made hell? The one who just made heaven. If Jesus loves us all, we're going to heaven. In my opinion, where I come from and the way I see it, God made Adam and Eve. And that, when you commit an act like that, sure God is forgiving. You're committing the cardinal sin. I mean, I can see it. What do you think?
Okay, well, I guess it gets us into two issues. First of all, Islam versus the Christianity, the Quran versus the Bible, but also this issue of something you've written about, Todd Wagner, the homosexuality debate. See if you can help sort it out for us here.
Well, you know, it's really interesting, Ali. Great, great question. I love what you said. I think one of the things that we've got to remember, I think one of the things I heard you say is that this is the greatest offense to God when you make a choice like this. And there's no question that it breaks God's heart when he sees us make choices that are inconsistent with his character and his nature and his will. But let me just say this. In God's, and it's really important that we as believers understand this, there are certain sins that we have elevated to a place that one of the problems folks have with us is that we usually pick ones that we either personally don't struggle with or that are easy to point out in others, maybe even easy to hide in ourselves. But,
sure.
But one of the things I try and teach people all the time is that to God, there's really one sin that is an offense. And when you talk about Adam and Eve, they committed it. Adam's sin was not homosexuality. Adam's sin was that he chose to believe that God was not good. He chose to believe that God was not loving and wise and true and necessary for life. And to God, that is the only primary sin. Every other sin, whether it be slander, gossip, lust in our heart, or acting on that lust and homosexual or heterosexual perversion, every other one of those is not so much our sins that make God angry at us, those really are the judgment. That's what God turns us over to. And this was really Paul's entire argument in Romans 1.
Mm-hmm.
It really is interesting. When Paul starts to talk about what men do when they abandon God as the source of goodness in life, all he does is he starts with how men burn in the desire for one another, and it talks about how really our sexual identity was messed up. And what I try and tell people is this. It's no surprise that when we have rejected God as the means through which we can find life and peace and fullness, that the very first place we're going to go to find it is in the area that gives us the greatest source of pleasure and is often very available no matter how much money or resource we have, and that is our sexual being. And so it's not surprising that homosexual sex or illicit heterosexual sex is the first place we go in rebellion. Paul doesn't make the argument it's the worst thing that a person can do. He says it's the first place we'll run. And then he goes down to some of the things that, if we're honest, we all struggle with. Disobedient to parents, you know, just self-willed and rebellious in all the little ways that have almost become acceptable sins,
yes,
even in the Christian church, and the way we talk about each other and treat each other. So Adam and Eve's issue was they rejected the goodness of God, just like others do, and I do in my own life. Anytime I sin, and I share with folks, listen, for whatever reason, Todd Wagner's bent is not towards homosexual lust, but I tell folks, Todd Wagner does have a bent towards sin and towards heterosexual perversion, and I'm a fallen, broken person. And apart from me knowing that life is found in God and in his kindness and goodness towards me, even his intention towards me in sex, I'm going to keep looking for life in an area that meets my emotional and physical needs. And so when I see somebody who's broken and struggles looking for life anywhere apart from God, I'm not angry at them. I just want to help them. I want to remind them that there is another way, another alternative. And so the issue of sexual brokenness is not the last on the line of the ultimate expression of rebellion against God. It really is the first, where we go in terms of a natural longing for life in that way. As I said, the only sin that really matters to God is that we reject him as true and right and holy, and then everything else is a judgment. It's what we do to try and find life that will be no life for us at all.
You know, oftentimes I say that when I'm interacting with people on college campuses or in the public arena or even here on the radio, I don't see them as enemies. I just see them as potential converts. And I think the idea that all of us are broken in one way or another, and certainly we need to share the good news and we need to encourage them, but maybe sometimes use a bit of tough love, but to do it with gentleness and reverence, as we just learned a minute ago from 1 Peter 3:15, it is the right way to go about and build bridges with people that are, in many cases, taking their cues from the culture.
Yeah. You know, Kirby, this is so important, and you and I are going to keep coming back to this. There's a quote that I came across a while back by a guy named Frederick Faber. And you know, Frederick's not a well-known guy for most of us, but he said this. He said, kindness has converted more sinners than zeal, eloquence, or learning. And listen, we need to be zealous for Christ. We should be, as much as we're able, eloquent, and we better be committed to learning, because Jesus says that understanding truth and knowing truth is what's going to set us free. And we got to remember, first and foremost, truth is a person, not just a proposition or an idea. But we can't ever think of apologetics as a way to make ourselves look smart, or even as a foolproof way to bring about a response. One of the things we've got to remember is that there's going to be some individuals that we can't have a rational conversation with.
That's very true.
Proverbs 18:2 says this, a fool does not delight in understanding, but only revealing his own mind. And so even when you're equipped with apologetics, one of the things you've got to ask yourself right away is, hey, does this person really want to have a conversation, or are they just looking to argue? And if so, you know, we've got to figure out how to respond in love to a person who's going to obscure whatever facts, whatever truth, even whatever kindness we bring them, and Christ is in all things is our model in that. I love Proverbs 26:4-5, because those two little verses right there seem to contradict each other in Scripture. Don't answer a fool according to his folly. and then there's a tag on that, but verse 25 says, answer a fool as his folly deserves. And those verses are side by side in Scripture. So clearly what Solomon wants us to understand there is you've got to discern the moment. And are you going to just enter into an argument and become a fool to answer a fool, which is what 26:4 is arguing against, or are you going to be ready as much as you are able to give him a reasonable response so that he's not wise in his own eyes? And so in those situations, you've got to ask yourself, what's really going on here? That the old statement of, listen, you know, the reason you don't want to answer a fool according to his folly is he'll drag you down his level and beat you with experience.
Right.
You know, so what we've got to make sure we do is go, if this isn't really going to be a loving conversation, and this is the problem I'm having with some members of our society in certain radical communities, that they don't really want to have a conversation. They want to tell you what's wrong with you and how what you're doing is hate speech and intolerant, and you and the God you represent are disgusting. And they just won't even come up for air. And so in moments like that, I just, you got to wait. You just got to say, do you want to have a dialogue, or do you want to just keep telling me what you know to be true about me?
Yeah. And we've certainly been encouraging lately our listeners to support and pray for people like Dan Cathy at Chick-fil-A. I mean, here's a group of individuals saying, look, you know, we're a family-oriented business, and we're not trying to pick a fight, but we know that what we sometimes say isn't popular with everyone, but we really want to try to base what we do on biblical principles. And so, of course, some people are saying they might want to go to a Chick-fil-A on a Wednesday to support them. But what we'll do is take a break right now, since we're coming up to one of those breaks. We'll come back and pick another phone call off. And let me just mention, if you just have joined us and haven't heard us talking about this very good apologetics conference, which will be taking place September 29th, wanted to give you advance warning so that you might even get a ticket and come to Dallas and hear from people like William Lane Craig and Greg Kokol and Frank Turek and Ravi Zacharias and many others. So we'll take a break, take some more phone calls with Todd Wagner right after this.
Now, back to Point of View, your listener-supported source for truth.
Let me mention just before we take our next phone call that we do have a listing there for Todd Wagner's blog under our articles section. I think you're going to find that very helpful. Obviously, he's responding sometimes to issues that he's preached out in his church, but you can kind of listen in, and I value so much his wisdom as he addresses issues about what it means to be a godly man, some of the scriptural indications that we're talking about here, certainly a section that he dealt with in terms of the homosexuality debate, even one on how should we vote, and of course a wonderful tribute to Chuck Colson. Last time we had Todd Wagner on, he and Eric Metaxas gave a great tribute to Chuck Colson. But let's take some more phone calls. We'll see if we can at least get one more in. We certainly have been doing a lot of talking today, and if you didn't get in today, we'll have a little more free time tomorrow when we talk about some other issues. I'll have an open line so you can express some of your opinions. But I think Jason in New Mexico has a question. So Jason, thank you for calling.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hi, Jason.
I had a question about kind of the border areas between, I mean, obviously everyone has their own personal beliefs, and if you, you know, belong to a church, probably share that with, you know, the people of your church or any other religious beliefs. But a lot of times we take our beliefs, and sometimes they come up against, you know, the secular society, for instance, like the gay marriage or getting intelligent design taught in schools. And I guess my question is, what do you feel about, you know, where you have your personal beliefs and your own personal morality, and where that comes up against, you know, the rest of what society says, you know, is okay or is not okay? Are you in favor of legislating your own morality, or are you content with just saying, okay, hey, well, you know, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's kind of thing?
First of all, let me just mention Frank Turek, who's one of the guys that will be speaking at the Apologetics Conference, co-authored a book with Norm Geisler on legislating morality, really one of the best books I've ever read on the subject about where to draw the line. But in the short amount of time we have, Todd, maybe you can give us a few thoughts, because it's something that obviously a lot of Christians wonder. How far do I go to push my biblical morality in the public square?
Well, I'm so grateful to get a chance to address this, because a lot of folks do say, hey, we shouldn't legislate our morality. And I would just tell you that by definition, that's what all law is. It's a moral choice, what is right and what is wrong. This is one of the problems with our country. I actually did a series last July, Kirby. It was just 2 weeks. I called it The Wolf at the Door, when I really talked about the greatest evil in our country that's about to just seize us. And what I really did is I turned it. I said, it's not the pro-homosexual agenda. It's not even those that are against religious liberty. It's not against the typical villains that Christians throw out there. I said the greatest evil is a silent and feckless church. Because if we're the ones that are supposed to involve ourselves in society, if God says, hey, listen, I want you to preserve truth, I want you to create a thirst for righteousness, I want you to be the folks that bring light, if we're the ones that are supposed to prevent decay and dispel darkness, and we don't involve ourselves in speaking out about why we believe what we believe and why it's good for all men to believe this, that you know, if you're wise, you're wise for yourself, but if you scoff, you alone must bear it. And if we as a country choose to mock certain realities, we're going to bear it. And so as lovers of good, as lovers of others, we better enter into that tournament of narratives. And we better be, and this is where I've shared this a lot. You know, Twitter is where I throw out sometimes little short thoughts, and it's the same thing. It's at words from wags there, Kirby. But I tweeted about this a lot right after President Obama came out on his new position related to same-sex marriage, which is we probably shouldn't even call it that, but same-sex relationships, because it's an oxymoron to say same-sex marriage. But same-sex relationships and looking for some kind of approval by the state, I try to share with folks is, listen, it does matter. We live in a democratic republic where God has given us the stewardship, the privilege, and the right to influence how people think. And so we ought to help people understand why we believe the way we do, and that we represent a loving God that wants us to believe in a way that will bring blessing, success, and prosperity to us. And like most children, most rebels, we're going to think we know better, but there's a way that seems right to man, and in the end it's the way of death. So when people say, should I legislate morality, I would just tell you every bit of legislator is a moral choice. And when we talk about even politics, the root of politics is the same as the word for polite. What is right and appropriate in the way that a culture should act? And so God says we should contend for truth and righteousness, hunger and thirst after it, and certainly be evangelists for it. So, boy, we absolutely, again, with winsomeness and wisdom and kindness, but we better enter into that. That is our charge as ambassadors and people who seek the welfare of the country that we live in.
Jason, let me just suggest that if you go to our website, we have the blog by Todd Wagner, and if you go down to the section where he was asked a question about how she would vote, then he has the links to those. For example, The Wolf at the Door and Whose Job Is It to Take Him On, Believers in Their Government, What Governs Our Usefulness, The Wall of Bronze and Whose Job Is It to Be, Breaking Down the Wall of Our Ineffectiveness in Serving the State. So some really great material there that I think would be available to you, and because Todd is so generous, it's free of charge. So just find those links, and there'll be a lot to read. But again, let me commend to you the book by Frank Turek and Norm Geisler, Legislating Morality, very well written, and it may be the most significant book on this particular issue. And just before we let you go, Todd, let's talk one more time, because not only will Frank Turek be there, but also John Stone Street and Greg Kokel and William Lang Craig and Dan Wallace and Ravi Zacharias and yourself. It is September 29th, and I just wanted a lot of our listeners to have advance notice, so if they can find inexpensive plane flight to Dallas if they're really far away, or else maybe get in a car and drive. This is just an opportunity to be with some of the best of the best. I do not know how you got them all in the same place at the same time, but it is really an incredible conference. And again, it is amazing to me that you're charging all of $40 for it. So I encourage people that are really interested in this, or even think they should be interested in this, come and attend the conference there on September 29th.
Oh, Kirby, bless you. And thanks for sharing that. I didn't even know you were going to talk about the conference, other than that you're just a gracious man. I commend that your listeners keep listening to Point of View, and just a couple of the websites that really have good resources to help them understand how to be effective in our culture. And one is breakingthespiralofsilence.com. That was one we talked about when Eric and I were on after Chuck's unfortunate death, and yes. Then also just the ManhattanDeclaration.org. Those are two websites that folks can go to help them, I think, give loving, reasonable responses to culture. And then certainly, you know, when we talk about, apologetics in general, William's website is great. yours. Equip.org is a tremendous resource. We are very spoiled. We are without excuse today to not be prepared. And the fact that most believers don't prepare themselves is an indication, as you said earlier, they're not out there in the public where we should be. And I don't want to be one of the guys that stands before the Lord and said, hey, I was too busy to concern myself with what you're concerned about, which is lovingly and rightly representing you to a world you called me to serve. So I'm grateful for you, Kirby. Keep it up.
Well, I'm all for you, too. And let me just mention for our listeners here that since I did speak to those pastors on answering the new atheist, from time to time we do a teaching time, so we'll try to schedule that, and then you'll get a chance to hear and follow along with various PowerPoint presentations, some of the things that I did with the pastors. But just about out of time, so first of all, let me encourage you to visit the website. As you go to the website, you're going to find a number of articles. First two relate to our first hour guest, Larry Pratt. The third one is Todd Wagner's blog. If you go to the web links, we have, again, the web links to Gun Owners of America, web link to Apologetics Conference at Watermark Church, all of that there, and certainly all sorts of other great resources. One last time, though, we also encouraged you to contact your two senators about the UN Conference on the Arms Trade Treaty. It's right there, and we've made it very easy for you to click on that button, or if you receive an email from us that went out about 90 minutes ago, so it should be in your inbox, and you can act on that as well. Tomorrow we're going to talk about a different set of UN conferences and treaties that are out there, and these are of concern to us as well. Dr. Alan Carlson will be with us for a little bit as we talk about the UN Treaty and Convention on the Rights of the Child, one about issue of persons with disabilities. So we'll go into that in some detail that we wanted you to know about, but also have an open line to get back into some of the other issues that are unfolding before our very eyes. We try to educate you about things that affect your faith, your family, or your freedom. That's what we're all about here at Point of View, and I hope that you listen to the program every day. Encourage your friends to do so as well. The website is pointofview.net. It's a great place for you to find material. If you'd like to write to us, it's Point of View, Post Office Box 30, Dallas, Texas, 75221. I want to thank Tim and Brian and Courtney for their help behind the scenes. Have a great day. We will see you back here tomorrow.
You have been listening to Point of View. For materials offered on the program, please write to Point of View, Post Office Box 30. That's Box 30, Dallas, Texas, 75221. Zip 75221. Or call our toll-free number, 1-800-347-5151. That's 1-800-347-5151.
Point of View is produced by Point of View Ministries and is supported by your generous tax-deductible contributions.